Today's show is either going to be really entertaining or a complete train wreck. Let's find out. So Alex Golish continues his June heater. There's no such thing as a June swoon with this football coach and this recruiting operation. I mean, they brought in like 15. They got in 15 or so commitments since, technically, if you want to start with Nash Johnson on the last day of May, you can. But even if you don't, there's still like 14 commitments in the month of June, including two receivers from the state of Alabama. Yesterday. So you go into Prattville and you go into Selma and you get a couple of electric receiver commitments to continue to keep this class in the top 10 nationally. More important, you continue to keep it in the top like third or so in the SEC. And you continue to send a message that the recruits are hearing what you're saying and they believe. They absolutely believe. They see the scheme. They see the proof of performance at other places, not just USF, but Tennessee as well. And they go, yeah, I could see my role in this offense, very clearly spelled out. So that's exciting. We're going to talk about 73s today, but we got a special treat for you, making his first ever appearance, his Village Vice debut, and maybe his first Auburn media appearance since he used to work at Auburn. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Cody Voga. Village Vice goes Voga today.
Triple V's, baby. Put them up.
it's the Village Vice Voga version. It's four V's today.
Oh, no. V4. Yeah. That's
V4.
Right.
I hope we can handle it. Cody, please tell everybody, for those, because we got some people listening or watching who are like, who is Cody Voga? Should I know Cody Voga? Like Earl. Who's Cody Voga? Roy, who is Cody? Who is Cody Voga?
That's a great question. Well, I am still irrelevant, so that's fine. I used to work as a sports information in the sports information department at Auburn. From 2016 was my first football season, and I worked for 5 years. So
yeah,
working all with softball, soccer, football, men's basketball, and a few other things in between. So it's been fun.
Yeah. You started at softball, right?
Did
you?
Yeah, I was with Coach Hoppe in soccer and then went right into softball.
We have some stories coming up in the post show today. There is one story we will not be telling on the post show today, and we'll just leave that right there. and you moved from softball to men's basketball.
That's right.
And it was kind of right at the time that BP and the program were starting to really ascend and take off, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's fair to say, I mean, BP has given me a lot of credit over the years about just really me being the difference and Auburn taking the next step. So no. My first year was right before the 2017-18 season. I actually started in, I think October was when I hopped on for men's basketball. So it was right before the season started, and it was boots to the ground, we're going.
Yeah. Let's talk. Can we start there? Can we talk about that a little bit? Because you know, BP is such a larger than life personality and individual. And I would assume that part of your job coordinating like his media, he's getting requests from everywhere. What was it like to step into that, Cody?
It was a lot. Thankfully, I had a lot of help and kind of, you know, help on the front end. It's like, hey, this is probably what you're going to expect. From Kirk Sampson, my boss at the time, he's a big help. And then former SIDs who worked with him, Dan Fralick and Chuck Galena, also kind of gave me a heads up too. But there was a lot of people that reached out and wanted to interview him too. But to his credit, he always made time for as many people as he could. So if we had a request and presented it to him and it was, you know, a legitimate request, he would said, yeah, let's find time. Let's do it.
One of the things that, when he was at Tennessee, right, and you're a fan looking from the outside, you go, that's not real. That's not who he is. Like, he's putting on. He can't be that personality all the time. And then you get around him and you go, oh, no, that's exactly who he is all the time. You were around him even more and in even more, like, non-public type of settings. I mean, is that pretty consistent, like the BP that you saw on camera or on microphone, pretty consistent with who he was all the time?
Oh, absolutely, for sure. And of course, he's carrying his cup of coffee around too, so he was always ready. straight black, he'd have just a little bit each, a little carried around all the time. But no, he was the same person on the court, off the court, 6 a.m., 12, or, you know, midnight, same person. So at least that was a good, from my perspective too, is it's consistent.
Yeah. How much of what he did was telling you how to do your job, and how much of it was, look, coach, here's what we're doing, here's your schedule. Like how much of the input, or how much did, I don't know if that question makes sense, but much did he affect the way you interacted with him?
Yeah, there were, especially my first year, I definitely needed some like, hey, here, so I would, you know, for example, like I would come, you know, post game, here's what we'll do and things like that. He said, oh yeah, maybe next time let's try and do something different. Is what he might say to me too. But he was always very receptive, and there was a trust that he gave me like immediately that, and whether he actually did or not, he definitely led, you know, it made me feel like I was like, he trusted me in my role and said, okay, listen, like, I don't care if this is your first year with me or your 10th year with me. Like this is, you're the guy. So let's get it done.
What was the weirdest media request that he got during your time to work with him? Look at that. That's the face of somebody who took a lot of really strange media requests.
Yeah, there were a lot. I'd have to, the weirdest one, I'm trying to think here. Well, you know, he explored some different spaces. So there were certainly some different things
that weren't basketball focused
per se. I don't really want to get to go too far down that road, but he had plenty of people who wanted to talk to him because everything he said was entertaining.
Yeah. And
he provided value in every interview he did. So
yeah, that's a really good way to put it. What was the strangest place he ever did an interview?
All right. Well, you ready for this story?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, I can tell you about the famous Isaac Okoro draft night story.
Okay.
So I'll give you a CliffsNotes version here. But so we went to, this was during COVID. So we had, he went to go support Isaac and be at his draft party now, but he was also very responsible because he had a team to coach still. So he didn't stick around long at all. Because you got to be careful with all your precautions.
Yeah.
And so the plan was, is I went up with our media crew who were doing video and photos and did a great job for when Isaac eventually would get drafted. And so then I rode back with BP because we had a request from ESPN that said, hey, as soon as Isaac gets drafted, we would like to talk to Coach Pearl. Great. That'd be awesome. We'd love to do that. So we're driving back and we're listening to the draft on Sirius XM, which, shout out, listen to the radio. and we, all of a sudden, you know, pick three happens, pick four happens, you know, we're just sitting there. We're just listening to the draft and talking it up and kind of figure out where he's going to go. You know, can he get pick 12? Can he get pick 10 maybe? And all of a sudden someone from the Cavs front office calls him and says, hey, we're taking your guy. And we're in the middle of nowhere. And I'd have to double check the route again. So he gets the call and he looks at me and I was like, pull over. Like we're about to go on the air. Like we gotta find a spot. And so he's on the phone. Right. And so I think we're in LaGrange is where it was. And I might have the city wrong on that too, based on our route home.
Yeah.
But so he said, okay. He said, find a spot. Just find a spot where you can go. And I had my iPad set up in the car. And I'm
Are
on
you
the
driving?
Road. No. He's driving.
Okay.
He just said, hey, point out where you want me to go.
Okay. All right.
And so the only spots are like a Waffle House McDonald's thing or this grocery store parking lot. And so I said, just pull over there. Just go under a light. And so we pull up into the parking lot, big open parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be bothered. I have a stanchion with my iPad on it. and I'm on with ESPN, just like the producer, getting it set up. And no sooner did I get the thing set up and plug the earphones in, and he gets out of the car, he's on. And it's so funny. I'm sitting there holding like a strobe light, or not a strobe, like a just a portable light too, to help add so you could see him. And I mean, I took a video of this too, because you can't believe this. His door is still open to this truck. Like, he literally just got out and was on the air. And we did the best we could at the time. I mean, there's only so much you can do. And the stories were, people were taking it and run with it. I got a bunch of text messages from people just like, where is he at? Like, what are you guys doing? But, you know, we did the best we could, and it worked out great.
Well, the timetable on that, though, if like that is like just after COVID, a few months after everything shut down for COVID. So like, we're just getting started with remote video interviews and things like that. They're not as commonplace at that moment as they are right now. So, all right. Speaking of that, take me to Nashville. Take me to SEC tournament. COVID shuts down everything. You got to manage messaging and schedules. And what was that like?
It was crazy, because it was something that was, you just have never experienced before, and you can't really prepare for it. Like, I mean, how many times are you going to prepare, like, hey, the whole world's going to shut down?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do there? So from my perspective, thankfully, the playbook kind of wrote itself.
Yeah.
Because we were getting messaging from the top down, whether it's, you know, Auburn administration, SEC, NCAA, all the way up to the top, of just like, hey, this is, you know, what it is. And we actually had an interview. I think BP was on with ESPN the night that it shut down. We got back, and I believe we had him on for a remote, just on with SportsCenter, just to getting reaction around the country.
Yeah, that team was so good. What could that team have done?
That was one that felt like, hey, this team, especially they're getting hot at the right time too. Yeah. Like, you kind of felt like the 2017-18 team there that was just catching, or the 2018-19 team that just caught fire and made that special run, and you're like, okay, this team might have something here.
How much do you keep in touch with former players, because like you work pretty closely with those guys in that role? Do you still have contact with any of those guys?
They're still, you know, you got phone numbers and stuff, so if someone wins something special, you send them a quick text and whatnot. And of course you follow them on Instagram and keep in touch with that way too. So it's been pretty good, like, you know, with Malik Dunbar and doing all the stuff he's doing, and Jared and Bryce and Samir Dowdy and all those guys. So it's fun.
You got any Malik Dunbar stories after the ad break?
Whoa. Not for air. Okay. I don't.
We'll make sure you remember, we'll save that for the post show. No, we'll do other
stuff. that's right. No, Malik's great. He's great.
Yeah, for sure. Genuinely. All right. Today's show brought to you in part by our friends at Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. Still time. It's summer. Go in. Tell them beat the heat. BTH. Beat the heat. Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. At no cost to you, they're going to check your AC performance system, your system pressure test. They're going to give you that vent temperature analysis. And then if all the preventative stuff is done and they find something that needs repairing, they're going to give you $50 off. All those AC repairs over $300. They're open at 7 o'clock in the morning off Pepperell Parkway in Opelika. So you can go in, get your car taken care of, and then make it to work on time. Be sure to tell Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika that you heard about them on The Barn on Village Vice, and say beat the heat. Could you talk about your relationship with one Sonny Smith?
Oh, Lord. God bless that man. he is one of one. That's for sure. He was one person that really was everybody welcomed me in from the start with the basketball family when I first got started. But he was one that it really made me feel special and part of the group. And he has stories for days. And plenty that he's told to you multiple times. You know, he
but
did
they're fail. Still, but they're still funny. They're still just as hilarious.
Every time they hit, and you know what's coming, but his delivery is unmatched.
What was his nickname for you? What did he call you? He never called you Cody, ever.
No, not once. He said, "Oh, hey, Roy, give me them stats. Give me some stats, Roy." I don't know where he got that from, but we just ran with it. And that once he said it the first time, that was it. It stuck.
The hardest I have ever laughed, maybe, and it was twice in one trip. No, because these were two different trips. I'm sorry. So the hardest I've ever laughed two times probably came out on NCAA tournament trips. One is Sonny Smith telling the, is it Cross-Eyed Earl or Cross-Eyed something?
It was Warren.
Warren. Yes.
That's right. Yeah, it was Warren.
The Cross-Eyed Warren story. We're in an In-N-Out. We're in an In-N-Out burger, I think, or some place like that.
Yeah, in Salt Lake City.
And he's telling this story just in the public. And yeah, okay, In-N-Out in Salt Lake City. I hesitated because I thought, do they have In-N-Out in Salt Lake City?
Yeah,
did they in 2019? But yeah, okay. All right. For a minute, I thought I was getting it confused with San Diego. Yeah. But grown men crying, just howling at the table. It's the hardest I've ever seen Rod Bramblett laugh.
Yes.
At this Cross-Eyed Warren story. And the punchline is like they're going up a mountain and tears are flowing down his back.
That basically he said, you know, they were singing worship songs around the fire. I don't want to ruin it for him, basically, but and of course, old Cross-Eyed Warren, he got emotional and had tears running down his back. I mean, we just fell out. Yeah, just he's the only one who can. He tells it way better, but man, is that funny!
But just picture you're in the middle of an In-N-Out in Salt Lake City, and here are these people from Alabama just acting like they're in the middle of an empty auditorium. You know, just not hilarious.
Oh, so funny! I'm laughing right now thinking about it.
Yeah. All right. The other hardest time I think I've ever laughed was in San Diego. Right? I do have that right, don't I? Was that in the car with Kirk driving? And
yes, that's okay. Right.
All right. What are you? Yeah. Set it up if you don't mind, and I'll fill in where we need to.
I would have to. I'm trying to think of where what got started, but he got you going in on Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
Was that the Lou Holtz voice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're packed in a little Jeep or something too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember it was dark and I think we were either driving. I think we might have been going to an In-N-Out, another one.
No, surely not.
I remember eating there at an In-N-Out in San Diego.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what we had practice. We may have had practice or a walkthrough of some sort.
That's what I feel like it was. I feel like we're going to practice or a walkthrough.
And just coming back, and I couldn't remember what got you on the Lou Holtz.
Well, Rod may have started it. Rod may have got me in on it too, because it's like you, me, and Rod in the back seat, just jumbled in, you know, just piled in there. And then Kirk is driving and looking in the rearview mirror and driving and laughing. And then we have a ticket guy in the passenger seat. And what made this funny is he's trying to have serious conversations with people, probably like money, donors, about tickets for the tournament games. And Kirk is asking Lou Holtz about his wife, Suzanne. Like, yeah, absolutely. You know, first date, I picked her up at my Suzu at 7 o'clock and we went to see, Six Mules for Sister Sarah. And it was a really great time. And so the more we do it, the harder, you know, like, I mean, Rod's shaking, laughing, crying, laughing, and Kurt's in the front and he's egging it on. And,
oh, yeah. He stoked the fire.
And then meanwhile, Mr. Tickets is up there just trying to, I think we can get you in. You know, he's trying so hard to avoid. I don't know how we became the people who just didn't care that people were trying to have real conversations.
Right. Right. If anybody gets it, it's us. Like, hey, if someone's on the phone, like, shut up. Like, don't say anything. But the whole place fell out.
And about the time it all died down, Kirk hit a big pothole.
Yes, the pothole. That's for the pothole.
Boom. And then the whole place just broke up again.
Yeah.
It's some of the most laughs I've ever had. Can I get you to tell one more story before we talk about the best 73s in Auburn football history?
Let's do it.
Okay. On our way to the Georgia game in 2020, you rode with the broadcast crew.
Yes.
And that rarely happened.
Right.
And we found out why it rarely happened. Because you and
I think we had a basketball game the night before. And I think night game.
That's right. Yep. We had the Friday. That's right. Because this would have been later in the season still before they moved it to October. So basketball the night before. So you rode with the broadcast crew and you and I just kind of cut up like kids in the back seat. And let me tell you who did not enjoy that. Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham. Again, we're seeing a trend here, Cody. You have who's trying to actually, you know, do business and get into game mode and, you know, take things seriously.
Right.
And then we're a stand-up comedy act. We're Amos and Andy in the back seat, you know, Abbott and Costello in the back seat.
We're poking the bear for sure.
So I don't remember what set up the line.
So I do.
Okay.
We were on our way back and we went through a McDonald's drive-through right before we had dropped off Paul. He can't even. And I remember, Paul, God bless him. He was going in on either something with what was wrong with the order. Something was wrong with the communication on our end or maybe the restaurant's end.
Well, because and I do remember this now. Yeah. Late night drive-through service.
Oh, yeah.
Not, you know, you don't have your brightest stars shining in the late night drive-through. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, that leads to Paul just kept going and going and going. And Andy had finally just had enough. He'd had enough of us. He'd had enough of Paul. He had enough of the trip. And which delivered the ultimate line.
Shut up, Paul.
Unreal. I will never forget this look. He was sitting on the left. He looked to his right and he said, "Oh, shut up, Paul." And that was it. That was it. It just... tears.
It's one of those, like, I understand if you're hearing this for the first time and you're maybe not in a laughing kind of mood, that doesn't come across as funny to you. Man, after 4 hours in a car and a football game and a basketball game the night before and that time of year, it's just, you're loopy. You're loopy. And Andy had just finally had enough. And so, shut up, Paul, became like aloha for the next couple of years.
Still does. And to be fair, and I had mentioned this to you recently, there'll be times where my wife's walking around the house and she'll just say, "Oh, shut up, Paul," just out of the blue. It's so good. It's so good.
Whew, that's good stuff. All right. We're going to get more from Cody in the post show today. By the way, thank you for doing this. So like this, I can't believe it's 23 minutes.
We're rolling.
Flew by. We're 73 days away from kickoff of Auburn football. Who's the best number 73 ever in Auburn history, Cody?
Well, during my extensive time, you know, I've been there for multiple decades in Auburn, so you know, my research.
You're the guy to ask.
Yeah. Right. So I actually did find somebody that during my time there, and it has to be Austin Golson. Has to be.
He was good.
Very good.
No, he was good. I mean, part of that team in 17 that beat back-to-back number one teams and had that impressive close to the regular season. So, I mean, like 73, I think, is maybe the most legendary not retired number.
Sure.
And there's a conversation for another day, maybe. But I think 73, you can make that case because Lee Zimba, national champion, was 73. Kendall Simmons... in the late 90s, early 2000s, he was number 73, then went on to like a decade plus career in the NFL. Marcus McNeil was 73 in the early 2000s, and he was a part of a national championship team and a two-time Pro Bowler. And so that, like, 73, I think, is the number of legends. It is the and maybe we're talking about this earlier. Has Auburn basketball ever had a 73?
And we're I'm trying to think. I'm sure now probably they probably will have one at some point. But based on the history and, you know, going 0 through 5, 10 through 15, all that, I'm trying to think. I don't know that there has been one.
I think they should have Mantis.
Yeah, there you go.
And Lou Holtz could advocate. Yeah, and we could advocate for that with Holtz. Listen, Steven, I've been doing some thinking. Mantis Rubtsevicius, number 73. That's got a good ring to it. It just rolls off your tongue. Mantis number 73.
Or slides off his tongue. Yeah, for sure.
That's right. Yeah, slides off the tongue. It's perfect. 73, Rubtsevicius. Rubtsevicius, 73. Lou Holtz is a PA announcer at a basketball game.
Oh, all time. I mean, we could do this.
This is awesome, awesome stuff. In the post show, we're going to talk about what Cody is doing now, and you kind of get to know him a little bit more and maybe share another story or two coming up on the post show. Make sure you're a member for that. If you're already subscribed to the channel on YouTube, that subscribe button just is now appears to you to be a join button. And you can do that for as little as $5 a month and get some pretty cool stories. We had somebody say they joined yesterday. Barner Becca became a member yesterday just to get more baseball content from Lindsey Crosby in the post show. So definitely check that out. Thank you for doing this. We appreciate it. Is this the last Village Vice Voga version? I don't know.
Stay tuned.
Maybe not. Okay. That'll do it for today's show. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.